Welcome into the Dynasty Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Carenti, joined by my co-host, Ryan Searfoss. Foss, how you feeling today?
Good, man. I started on watching rookie film this week. Mainly it was because I got sick of watching the Ravens receivers, so I decided to start watching receivers myself. But yeah, it felt really good to get back into the scouting aspect of everything, which we're kind of digging into today. But it's a good time of year.
Yeah, man. And kind of like you said, today we're going to start peeling back, you know, I guess some of our process prepping to scout the 2023 rookie class and what we're looking for as it relates to fantasy football leagues. So we'll start getting into all that. But first, I need to talk about the insane value that comes with being a rookie big board patron. If you are, like us, starting to look ahead to the 2023 class in a lot of ways, you got to get ahead of things now and get ready for 2023 rookie drafts. You can become a yearly patron for 15% off now. That's just $30 a year, a truly spectacular value. If you want to win fantasy football championships year after year, you need the ridiculously valuable resources offered by the Rookie Big Board team, available at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. So let's talk. We mentioned off air, we'll kind of run through it position by position, starting with quarterback. Maybe talk about some of the things that we're looking for or what jump out the most as we start getting prepped to,
you know. Can I throw a curveball first?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you're doing it, what do you base your scouting off of? Like, what do you go through with your process? Like, just like as a general thing, like all film. Film some analytics, like what all do you go by?
Pretty largely off of film. Like, I don't want to say I discount, like I don't pay attention to analytics. It's just not, I know it's not my like forte or where I'm, I don't want to say most valuable because that sounds really like, I'm valuable. And that's not how I mean it, but it's not where I feel like I'm doing my best. So I do weigh some of the analytics in, but predominantly off the film. What about you?
Yeah. So last year's the first time I brought some analytics into it. So I am 75% film. So I grade my, I have 15 categories. I go grade 1 through 5. So it gives me out of 75 there. I put 10% into draft capital, 5 into analytics, 5 into their combine grade. Is that the math right? 10.
Not a math.
15 in the draft grade. I'm losing fun. So I grade everything on 100, but 75% is film grade.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, let's start with the quarterback position, and I guess kick us off with what are some of the most important things you're looking for on the film side of things when we're talking quarterbacks?
So quarterbacks, obviously, I have different categories for everything. Obviously, accuracy is super important. And I kind of grade it separate, like short, middle, deep accuracy. I put arm strength in there. If they're consistent, if they're making tight window throws, mechanics, if they're doing stupid things and if they're accurate inside and outside the pocket and a couple other things like that. But I kind of just want to see what they're good at to make the decision on it. Like, you can go in so many ways in football. It's like, for grading them though, it's how they're going to be used and what their fit's going to be at the quarterback position. Like, you get someone like Tua who was incredible short accuracy at arm strength issues, but it's still a way to win. So it kind of keeps everything even. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Quarterback is, like, admittedly, I think the hardest. Yeah,
absolutely the hardest. Especially like last year's class, there was nothing that was, it made it very difficult.
It's like quarterback's the hardest, I think, for a number of reasons, but like number one being that it's the position that is so most heavily influenced by intangibles and like the person, and like you don't know any of that, and that's not like a cop-out way to be like, oh, everybody could be wrong about quarterback forever, but it just kind of makes it tricky, I feel like.
No, you're right. And like some people think winning matters for it and their record.
Sure.
Then you'll have like, okay, I can't think of the old quarterback for Hawaii who threw like 60 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, like Colt Brennan.
Yeah, I was going to say Colt Brennan. Is that it?
Who had all these numbers, but was nothing in the NFL. I think it's the hardest position to grade by far.
It is. I think some of it has been like kind of made, I don't want to say easier, but simplified a little bit, just kind of with like the marrying of the college game to the pro game now. And, you know, like a lot of pro offenses adopting some more college style tendencies, not like full blown schemes or anything, but it does make it tough if it's somebody that's coming from a system that's, you know, like predominantly one read, or they're getting fed, you know, exactly what they need to be fed or where to go with the ball on a, you know, real kind of simplistic scheme, to having to go through progressions and throw guys open and play the game a little bit differently. So I think
it's tough,
but this is an exciting class.
It's very exciting. The other thing with quarterback that makes it very difficult, and this class is kind of different for it, but is a good NFL quarterback a good fantasy quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because of the running ability changes so much with everything in fantasy now. Because that's one of the hardest things, like for our disconnect with us being a fantasy podcast, is going, oh, Kirk Cousins having a really good year as a good quarterback, but he's not a great fantasy quarterback. Kenny Pickett's looking really good his rookie year, but fantasy wise, it's not huge numbers. But we could have somebody going, looking way better as a passer, but they're rushing 60 yards a game in the quarterback position. I think that's the other thing that makes this even harder than before.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why, you know, as we record this at the end of November, we don't know what exactly will happen, but why it's the main reason a guy like Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson will, like, if he declares, if he goes round one, he's going to go early in Superflex rookie drafts because of what he can be as a runner. And
yeah,
like it'll be a team betting on all tools in the NFL draft, and maybe he'll never be a great pro quarterback, but if he gets first round draft capital, he will be almost a, like almost regardless an immediate factor fantasy wise, like whether it takes him a while to learn the ins and outs of the position at the pro level or not.
I mean, Justin Fields this year's most passing yards in the game is 208 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fantasy gold because of his legs. And that could be this. I'm not saying he's Justin Fields, obviously, but like that running is really separates that.
Yeah. And this class, of course, will be headlined by Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud. And the demand for the for need of high level talent at the position at the NFL level will push guys like Kentucky quarterback Will Levis up boards. And if Anthony Richardson goes in round one, see where somebody like Hendon Hooker from Tennessee goes following tearing his ACL. But I don't know. There's players that it's a more exciting class.
It's a that lot way more than exciting the 2022 than last class. Yeah. 22 class was bad.
Yeah. Not the most fun or exciting. All right. Anything else you want to add about quarterback before we move on to the running back group?
No, I mean, we're going to see actually probably QBs number one overall in Superflex this year, which we didn't see a lot of last year.
Oh, you think?
Huh?
You think?
You don't think there's any quarterbacks going one overall in Superflex this year out of these guys?
I bet there'll be some, yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it'll be like a split. People think love about Bijan. Bijan's great.
How good's Detroit's offense this year? Now add a competent quarterback, or an athletic quarterback, or add CJ Stroud, add Bryce Young in that offense with those weapons.
But then what about my guy Jared Goff?
He can go be a backup somewhere. Like,
oh, no. Jared Goff caught a ricochet shot.
But, like, think about, like, you put someone in them in that offense.
Nah,
they're going one overall.
Yeah, they got to be hoping for a guy to make their way to him in Detroit. But, yeah, I think it'll be – I don't want to say, like, even split, but you'll definitely get a quarterback going 101 in a lot of places, but I think you'll get a lot of Bijan mixed in too.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
All right, speaking of Bijan the King, let's talk about running backs and an exciting 2023 class of running backs, the most exciting running back class in quite some time, it feels like. Running back, I don't know where you stand. Running back for me might be my favorite position to watch. It really might. Like, I love watching the running backs. It's close between running back and wide receiver, but there's just something fun about watching college running backs.
Yeah, I love watching running backs. My favorite position to watch is not relevant for fantasy football, but I love watching corners. But like, I love watching running back. They're so fun, man. And you mentioned Bijan. He was just, it's just a joy.
Yeah, he's special.
Like, you can't watch him play football and not smile.
Yeah, just a true kind of prototype of what you would want a running back to look like in 2023 and beyond. He does it all. Power, speed, receiving, like legit receiving ability, I think is the craziest thing about Bijan Robinson. It's not the rest of it, but how good he is as a receiver is pretty wild for a guy that's as good at the rest of the game as he is.
Yeah, he has nothing he graded bad in for me. He's really good, man. He's as complete as you want. But you want to start this time. What are you looking for in your running backs, other than everything you just said about Bijan?
I think the biggest thing for me is, like, it's fun to see, like, you know, the high level, like, long speed on tape and, you know, making a guy miss. But I think the number one thing that I'm looking for, or like, kind of get drawn to initially when watching running backs, is like, are you decisive? Like, are you finding the right hole and hitting the right hole? Like, is it like that ideal kind of mix of I'm patient but not too patient, I have the vision to find the hole, and I can plant my foot and get upfield. You know what I mean? Just kind of running with conviction and knowing where you want to go is one of the most, I think, important things for me, because you don't have to, we see it time and time again, you don't have to be a guy that, you know, tests the fastest or runs the fastest to be a highly productive running back for fantasy purposes or for real life purposes. Of course it can help, but it's not the be all end all.
It's kind of like that short area quickness in like the burst. More important.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you? What are you looking for in a running back?
Obviously, there's a big long speed. Not as much. I think creativity is one thing I really look for in a running back, and contact balance. Like, you're not going down just by getting nicked or catching a shoulder. Like, you need to be wrapped to get out. And one of the things that I want to, like, personally from watching film, get better at, it's so important, which we're seeing with Najee Harris right now, is vision. Like, are they running into the back of their blockers? Are they hitting the hole before the hole's there? Are they patient enough to wait? I think that's something that needs to be paid attention to more, other than, like, because we think the highlights show everything good. Even just watching a game or two, you miss some stuff. But, like, those short runs that don't happen, that's so big.
Yeah, and the vision thing is tricky sometimes, like, from college to pro, just with, I remember us talking about this last year, and this is not to say that he's been bad or disappointing, but I remember us, like, wondering out loud with Tyler Allgeier, like, watching BYU. It's like, man, BYU's O-line is just mauling people. And it was the same thing, like, kind of with Najee at Alabama. Like, that Alabama offensive line was mauling people. There was so much space for him to work with before there was any contact.
Or the opposite with Cam Akers at Florida State.
Yeah.
Who had one of the worst lines you've ever seen. Like, it's probably one of the hardest things to judge, but it's so important, because we've seen year in, year out running backs just shatter because they can't find holes quick enough.
Highly do you, like, weigh or value, like, proven receiving ability?
Probably too high. So ever since I changed my grading, it's like everything's even for me. Like, I put everything pretty much even, but I love, like, personally, I'm drawn to receive backs who can catch the ball. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs, he got me so excited watching him on the backfield, and the fact he's super explosive. But, like, I think it's important, but one of the things that it's not in my grading, but I pay attention to, is I do the fit in an offense. Like, after watching running back, I'm like, can this guy be a lead back? Is he a lead back? Is he the third down back? Is he early down? How can he be used, like, in a normal offense, not including injuries? I think that's where you can kind of separate a guy who may not be an every down back. And that receiving ability is awesome, but is his ceiling James White? which is still a good ceiling, but like it's an RB2. Like that's what separates them from an RB1. Like they're undersized. They may not be able to take the beating and be down.
Yeah. I think that what makes 2023 or the 2023 class feel so like special and loaded is that Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs feel like all around kind of special players, where they can both be like legitimate receiving weapons. And Bijan obviously has like the size profile to go with it. Gibbs is a little on the smaller side, but they feel like they could come right in and be fantasy gold right off the bat. But the class goes deep, man. There's players that are going to fill out round one this year.
I will say running back, one of the analytics things I actually really like with positions, the BMI. Because if they're thicker backs, they can withstand that workload. If they're pretty dudes out there, they're not going to be able to take every, they're not going to be every down back. Like James Cook was exciting on film, but he was like a second percentile for BMI, which kind of tells me he's not going to be used every down and it's going to be sparingly. I think that can help carve out a role a little bit with somebody, even though all these backs look pretty solid right now. Like nobody's listed under 200 right now. We'll change the combine, but they're all pretty solid dudes.
Yeah, there'll be a couple guys that I'm interested to see what they weigh in at. But there's definitely, not to say like all these guys are huge, but there's a handful, a good amount of them that have that what looks like decent size profile right now. Like Sean Tucker, Tank Bigsby's obviously a bigger back, Zach Evans. There's backs that can be built to be, you know, quote unquote, workhorse backs. Or like
Charbonnet is pretty solid.
I can't forget Zach Charbonnet. That's a mortal sin. On the rookie big board feed. I don't want Matt to come for my neck. I know he's the lead Zach Charbonnet guy, so can't disrespect Charb. But yeah, it's a fun class, man. There's going to be good players in the second round. And I think a lot of running backs will go round one in rookie drafts after what feels like a few years of it being pretty largely dominated by wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it'd be nice to see it in there. In the last, actually, we had two studs. Rookies this year year. And right now my top two guys are higher than both of them.
Yeah.
Already. So it's exciting.
Agreed. Let's move on and talk about wide receiver. Yeah. It's wide receiver is fun every year anymore, right? Like it's just going to be fun forever.
When's the last time it's been bad?
It goes back like quite some way. Yeah, it's like years that we're talking about now. And it feels like every year we do this thing where at the beginning or like leading into the college season, we're like, oh, 2023 is going to be crazy. And then you get like start to get bored of some of them. And then you're like almost a little down on some of them, but it's still actually probably pretty good. And then you have to hear that there's not a Jamar Chase, even though there's only a Jamar, you know, like, yeah, we can't do that every year. You know what I mean? Like,
no, there's only so many superstar receivers. There's one Justin Jefferson, right? There's one, like.
Yeah. Yeah. But that being said, I think 2023 is a fun wide receiver class. Where do you land in the, you know, watching wide receivers? Is it production you want? The projection guys that you're looking for? Who do you get drawn to at wide receiver?
Receiver, a lot of it's film. But it could be so – it's a full body of work for receiver. That's what I think the difference, like, or it's kind of evolved to. Because what we see in the NFL is that role of the wide receiver and how the NFL even values wide receiver is so different from fantasy production. Like, Devonta Smith was priceless for Philly when they took him. He's perfect fit. He stretches the field. But – if you look at everything, is that going to be fantasy relevant for you? Like, I think that, like, I think they have to have enough size. They have to be able to win jump balls. They have to be able to do enough where they're force fed volume for me to really like them. I feel like I kind of beat around the bush on that question, but like, they have to be our route run. They have to be able to be aggressive pass catchers. Like, I want guys who attack the ball. and then can run after it, like and get yards after contact. Like those are my biggest things. Route running, yak, and aggressive pass catching. If that,
no, that's makes what sense.
They show up like last year. Like I was fairly high on Jahan Dotson the whole way through, who I think's played really well. But that was one of the things that really like stood out. He aggressively caught the ball. He won jump balls, even though he was undersized. He got wide open on routes. He could run after the catch. I liked all those things about him. That's why I kept him a little bit higher in my rankings, because he did those things. And I think that's kind of where I go towards that well-rounded wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the yards after catch is a huge thing that I very much do value. I think especially in today's NFL, where like the game is kind of just, you know, creating space like finding playmakers in space a lot of times. The other thing I'm always kind of drawn to at wide receiver, I don't even necessarily mean this just from like a size perspective, but like playing with real physicality, where it's like, it's part of why I like George Pickens so much last year. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, and not in like the, you know, hothead moments or like the, you know, the big, like fun, like blocks with him, put, you know, flattening people on out on the boundary, which is fun to watch and all, but like,
yeah,
he's just kind of playing with purpose out there. It's kind of the same, like playing with conviction or decisiveness at the running back position, but it kind of leads into, you know, playing big in jump ball scenarios or playing big across the middle in traffic and being able to, I hate to say, you know, be tough, but kind of be a move the chains guy. Like,
yeah, more catch the ball with through contact.
Yeah, exactly. Probably value like a combination of those traits more than maybe just outright elite speed. Again, I think speed at wide receiver like can't be undersold, because the NFL craves it and tells you time and time again, like every year, that they value speed, elite speed. But I think there's way more to it than that. And that's like the nuanced conversation of wide receiver.
There is. And like the one thing I say, the yak and route running, I think they're two of the most misunderstood things. Like we see every year at the the senior bowl, these small wide receivers run these routes that look real fancy, but they're like 14 moves strung together.
Yeah.
And it takes them all that to get open. It's when they do that like hesitation, it looks so smooth you don't even notice it. That's good route running to me. Not 14 steps to make a guy miss. And then yak, it's not just you catch the ball and you run fast past people, because you see a ton of that, especially like in the Big 12 when you have speedy receivers. You saw a lot of the Jordan Addison. Not taken away from him, but like he catches the ball and no one's there and he's just faster. I'm talking like somebody gets their hands on him, they run through it, then they break the run. That's what I want to see with the yards after catch, not just being faster than people. Like actually either breaking a tackle or making people miss. I think that's what matters on that.
I think all of those, a lot of those factors are why I know I will still come away very high on Jaxon Smith-Njigba, like leading up to the draft, because I think he's that wide receiver that like, yeah, he played a lot from the slot, but I think he's so good at it and like is capable of getting moved around and can create those kind of tough yards after contact and be featured in that way, that it's going to be really tough for him to not be wide receiver one for me.
Bro, it's 2022. Slot receiver doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good ones again this year.
you know who was just a slot receiver in college, right? Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, very true.
I'm not a comparison, but like, yeah,
we're gonna clip it and say that that's the
comp. Just clip it. Yeah. But like, just because they played somewhere, because that was the offense, and they wanted to scheme him open, it's not a bad thing. But yeah, yeah. This is receiving classes. Exciting. How do you view like the roles for the receivers? Like do you like rate like how you can see them, like if they're a high volume guy, if they're just a slot receiver, if they're a big play guy, like do you use that to determine anything for you?
It matters, and I think it comes into like more clear focus post NFL draft and knowing the landing spots and everything. but I definitely make note of it prior to the draft of, okay, here's what I think that this guy profiles most likely as. And then, you know, sometimes you get that perfect marriage of like, oh, I hope he lands in a place that uses him exactly like this. And that's like the dream scenario. But yeah, I always make mention of kind of how you see these guys shaking out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun class. I mean, JSN from the slot is fun. Jordan Addison obviously has played a ton from the slot in his college career and is fun there. Josh Downs is somebody else that will get labeled that kind of player from North Carolina. But then you get Quentin Johnston from TCU, a big X wide receiver on the outside. Lots of guys, man. Lots of production.
A lot of guys. And it's, again, what flavor do you want?
Yeah. And I would bet that this year, you know, for when the NFL inevitably craves top end speed again, it makes me wonder if we see, you know, Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee sneak into round one of the NFL draft. We saw him win vertical in prolific sort of fashion this year at Tennessee. So it will be interesting to see for me to see, you know, what he runs and how the NFL kind of values that. Because not to say that, again, not comping them player for player, not to say that he's Jameson Williams, but I mean, similar skill set, similar kind of build. NFL wants to look at the Dolphins. It's a copycat league, right? And
dude, the Dolphins are going to change how teams draft this year.
Yeah, because they're okay. We're faster than you. We're faster than you, and we know it at wide receiver. Like, try and keep up.
Teams are going to try to do that.
Yeah, and of course, that's like a not crazy scenario, but you know, a perfect example of like two just crazy high end talented players like that that both have elite skill sets when it comes to speed. But yeah, I think teams will definitely try and do that.
Yeah, and I'll push them off the draft boards.
Yep. It's a tight end pod. Anything you want to talk about at the tight end position? How do you pick the winners at tight end that'll inevitably be productive in, like, I don't know, 6 years or something like that?
Dude, I'm full honesty, I'm terrible grading tight ends.
Nobody's good.
I hate watching tight end film. Ooh, excuse me. Awesome. Especially in college because they catch so few balls. So yeah. I'm not proud of it. I'll YouTube the highlights of all their catches and kind of go off athleticism and what you see there. Then I'll normally watch like maybe one game just to see how they are as a blocker. But a lot of it's just from what I hear, go off that, and then what you see down the stretch. Like, I'll watch clips. I just can't watch like multiple games of a tight end.
You know, yeah, tight end is tough because I think it's easier to watch tight ends and think like, oh, this guy could be a good NFL player than it is to see like, oh, I think this guy could be a productive fantasy tight end.
I think traits are more important for tight end than anything else in college. Yeah, because they're not using the offense. Like, Mark Andrews back in the day was drafted off traits. And that's like his valley. Kyle Pitts, drafted off of traits. And Njoku, like, all these guys are just size speed freaks. Are just what go high.
Yeah.
And are normally productive. So, kind of just watch for that. That's the biggest thing to watch for them. But, dude, it's hard. Tight end, it's really hard to do it. And they're normally outside of the top one or two every year. I don't draft them just because normally they're slow to break out. They get cut. You pick them up later.
Yeah, very true.
I don't pay as much attention as I probably should, but like that's the thing. Like, other than Mayer, Washington, maybe someone else slips in. Like, I'm probably not going to draft a tight end, and I'm just going to let them get cut at some point in fantasy because they will.
Yeah, it's almost inevitable.
It really is. Sad to say. Not proud of it.
Yeah, this is still a pro tight end pod.
It's a pro tight end pod. It was just
literally a pro tight end pod, though. Like, we'll just talk about the professional.
Only pros, yeah. College tight ends. We'll have a few we show some love for, but it's they get ignored.
Yeah, it's tough. All right. Anything you want to add before we get on out of here? We'll obviously have plenty of more rookie talk in the weeks and months ahead of us, but this was kind of a nice primer to get things kicked off and headed in that direction.
Yeah. In the Discord, talk about rookies, start talking about rookies in there and see what everyone thinks about people. And we'll be putting out a bunch of rookie stuff and really excited about it.
Yeah, never a bad time to talk rookies, especially in the Discord. Yeah, there's
never a bad time.
Always a ton of that going on. And if you're not already, again, head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard and gain access to that Discord for as cheap as $3 a month. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. We'll be back with more of the show next week. But be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Devi Big Board. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Later.